Welcome back, Sprouts, Vets, and Moogles. I welcome you to Sprout Life Podcast, Adventure Entry 13. Today's date is September 7th, 2022, and this is the podcast about Final Fantasy XIV online through the eyes of a total Sprout. I welcome you to join me, Horena, in my adventures in Eorzea. You can contact the show on Twitter at Sprout Life Pod. You can also email the show at sproutlifepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Horena. And you can find all the things about the show where you can listen to it, leave a voicemail, and find other Final Fantasy XIV content creators at sproutlifepodcast.wordpress.com. And Sprout Life is also a member of the Cozy Podcast Network. It's the place where I host all six of my podcasts, so you can find this one and the rest at cozypodcastnetwork.com. Let's dive into some Final Fantasy XIV news. Our first chunk of news is titled "Be Wary of Suspicious URLs and Websites." And this is shared off from the Lodestone News, and they go on to say, as we have mentioned in the past, we have confirmed that certain individuals are attempting to direct players to fake login websites which imitate the Square Enix account management system in an effort to steal, also known as phishing, the information such as their Square Enix ID, password, as well as date of birth. So keep an eye out for those. In a previous interview with GameWatch, now fully translated into English by Twitter user TurquoiseHammer, Yoshida talked primarily about Final Fantasy XVI, but he also offered some tidbits about Final Fantasy XIV, which I'm going to pluck from the interview, which the link to the entire interview is in my show notes, and I'm going to share the Final Fantasy XIV kind of chatter with you right now. So in the interview, he discussed that the idea of Final Fantasy XIV in light of how the Final Fantasy series is viewed as a whole. Yoshida has since been quoted as suggesting that Final Fantasy must change and broaden in the contemporary period. He speaks about asking fans what they want from the franchise and receiving a wide range of responses in this interview. Yoshida is quoted in the article saying, "Being in charge of Final Fantasy XIV has seen me skipping around the globe, having countless conversations with fans and gamers. There are all sorts of things that players in countries outside of Japan think about and anticipate from Final Fantasy. However, the responses contained a daunting degree of variation. When you stop to think about it, it's only natural. Each Final Fantasy title features a different world and lore, a different battle system, different characters, and a different overall sense of direction." So more about the interview can be found in my show notes, and because I have the whole link to the interview there. So it was posted by fanbyte.com. And moving on. Final Fantasy XIV has been updated. They made a post on September 1st just to let us know that the following issue has been addressed. That there were cases where the cross-world link shell, PvP team, or fellowship would be disbanded if the owner, in parentheses, cross-world link shell, fellowship, master, PvP team, or team leader, has no more subscription days on their account and their character is withdrawn. And then they also stated that they are considering how to respond to those that have been disbanded. "We apologize for any inconvenience caused, and we ask for your patience as well, as while we will make an announcement as soon as we have decided how to handle the situation. In addition, there is no issues with players recreating or joining these groups." All right, and they also made a post on Lodestone that they're going to be venturing into the depths of Pandemonium once again for the unending journey on Thursday, September 15th, but to be honest, that's just for the European community. But they have a live stream planned for the unending journey where they're going to go into the depths of pandemonium once again and ride the winds against the Archfield of Wind of Barbarica. And they will be gathering at the Anagnorsis Atherite and Elpis on Ragnarok, KSDC, the Chaos Data Center. So put on your best glamour and join them for some screenshots. They'll be streaming for the European community on September 15th. They will be streaming for the French community on September 8th, the German community on Friday, September 9th, and then the English community on September 15th, and then the... I did French, I did German. So yeah, head to my show notes and you can find the location. It's all going to be taking place on the official Final Fantasy XIV Twitch channel, but there's different times for the different communities. But all of the streaming will be done on that server, so on Ragnarok KSDC. So at least make sure if you want to attend and be part of the screenshots, get to the server, Ragnarok, make your character if it's not already there, and get it all glammed up if you want to be in part of their screenshots, they say. So head to sproutlifepodcast.wordpress.com for the show notes and you'll find all that information. And to mark the 9th anniversary of Final Fantasy XIV, they proudly present a new collection of side stories with Tales from the Dawn. Peer deeper into the hearts and minds of a diverse cast of characters, beginning with the first installment, A Friendship of Record. You can read the first story at the FinalFantasy.com Lodestone, and obviously link in the show notes. And then you can also join them at Tokyo Game Show 2022 on September 18th. They will be opening their doors on Thursday, September 15th at the Makurai Messe in Chiba, Japan. Be sure to stop by the Square Enix booth if you happen to just be there and tune into their live streams. And at least there's going to be a live stream, right? For all of us that can't make it to Chiba, Japan, there is going to be a live stream and we can get all the latest news on the upcoming Square Enix titles. On Sunday, September 18th, they will be featuring another live stream episode of A Stroll with Yoshi-P, where producer and director Naoki Yoshida will take a leisurely trip to a random world in Final Fantasy XIV to play with fellow adventurers. What? And they hope to see you there. A Stroll with Yoshi-P is going to be taking place at the Tokyo Game Show 2022 on September 18th at 1 a.m. Pacific time. So you can watch the live stream on their YouTube channel, and you can also catch it on Nikaniko Live and the Square Enix Presents. It's SQEX Presents underscore JP for Twitch, for Japanese only. So obviously show notes, that's where you want to go. I have the links waiting for you. And Toshio Marachi, global community producer, will be presenting along with Naoki Yoshida. And Final Fantasy XIV will not have an in-person exhibit this year, and they want to thank you for your understanding. Moving on. Now there's another interview that took place, and Inverse.com was covering it, and it was titled The King of Final Fantasy Reveals Why the Series is, quote, struggling. I feel like that was a little bit of a grab right there when they named the article. So I took some pieces out. You can find it on Inverse.com or the show notes. Naoki Yoshida with the director, why do they have that? Naoki Yoshida, the director of Final Fantasy XIV since 2010, is also the producer of the much-awaited Final Fantasy 16, scheduled to launch on the PlayStation 5 in 2023. With 25 million registered players, Yoshida turned to the initial failure of Final Fantasy XIV into a decade-spanning smash hit that has subsequently become the most lucrative Final Fantasy game ever created and Square Enix's top income generator until 2021. Yoshi P. is adored, obviously, for his contagious passion for all things Final Fantasy, his peculiar sense of humor, and his uncommon openness to confess when things just don't go as planned. He is quoted saying in the interview, "I believe the essence of a job is getting paid to do what others find troublesome." Yoshida continued by saying, "The more your job is something people don't like or don't want to do, the more praise and recognition you will receive for accomplishing it. Once you build up credibility, you can take on bigger challenges and will be permitted to spend greater sums of money. As such, my mentality remains unchanged even today. I think the very concept of online gaming will gradually disappear," he says. "Though the scale of integration may vary, there's hardly any video games without some sort of online component these days. I think the distinction will be reduced to whether it is multiplayer or single player." Goes on further to add that after more than 10 years on the project, Yoshida sees Final Fantasy XIV sticking around. He also said in the interview, "I want to keep making sure that the Final Fantasy XIV will be fondly remembered by many as a fun game that gave them the best gaming experience. I also want to make sure that it will remain in operation for decades to come." Yoshida went even further to say that if we think in terms of the next decade, the development and spread of new devices such as VR chips may give way to revolutionary game experiences. "I thought this could happen a bit sooner, but I believe it might have been delayed by several years due to the shortage of semiconductors caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and other factors." And Yoshida is also quoted in the article saying, "As long as games remain a form of entertainment, I believe the only solution is to keep examining the issue and meticulously improving management methods." He says, "No matter how much someone wants to carry on with their work in order to avoid burnout, it's important to assume and to assign mandatory breaks and have them re-energize before they reach their limit." In relation to breaks, Yoshida might use one. I would think that he would actually need one. In addition to his continued responsibilities for Final Fantasy XIV, the emphasis is now on Final Fantasy XVI to live up to the series' illustrious 35-year pedigree, because the hype train for the game has already left the station. Putting Yoshida front and center is a way for Square Enix to convey that the Final Fantasy franchise is in good hands. After the mixed reviews of 2016's Final Fantasy XV. I really suck at Roman numerals. I'm like 15 and 16 are reversed. So confusing. So, una momento. Final Fantasy XV, which stumbled under the aspirations of a 10-year development cycle. He is known for turning failures into victories, after all. And side note, I got to watch this funny meme video that being a Sprout, going back and like... It was hilarious. I can't remember where I found it. If I find it, I'll have to share the link in the next episode. But being able, they like summed up the history of Final Fantasy XIV in like a little quick meme video where it was on fire. It had a previous director and they just kept using this like development platform that they had. It was like called Crystal Tools or something, and they had never used it before, and they wanted to get their money's worth. And like Final Fantasy 14 when it first released was like all jacked up. Then it shows the original director leaving and then being replaced with Yoshi, and then Yoshi's like, "I want to do this," and they're like, "No," and he's like, "Yes," and they're like, "No," they're like, "Yes," and he's like, "Yes," and they're like, "No," and he's like, "Yes," and they're like, "Okay." So then he goes and makes it amazing and fixes all the stuff and starts to put out the fire. It was hilarious. I know it's way better than what I'm making it sound. But it really summed up like a really quick taste, a little journey for a Sprouts like me to be like, "Oh, okay." Because I always hear people say like, it, you know, 2016 Final Fantasy was, yeah, but Yeah, it was funny. I definitely have to find it now. If I find it when I'm done recording this, I'll put it in the show notes. And there's no way for me to let you know if I found it. So just look, I guess. I don't know. But I'll definitely have it in the next episode if I could track it down. But it was so funny. You know what? I think I found it on Reddit, and it was pretty funny. It had me cracking up. All right, so now back on track. Despite his enthusiasm for the bright future of Final Fantasy XIV, Yoshida's characteristically candid about about that of the series as a whole, because he was quoted in this interview saying, "In terms of whether Final Fantasy is successfully adapting to industry trends, I believe the series is currently struggling. We're now at a point where we receive a wide variety of requests regarding the direction of our game design. To be honest, it'd be impossible to satisfy all those requests with one single title. My current impression is that all we can really do is create multiple games and continue creating the best that we can at any given time." And to wrap it up, Yoshida also added that he believes that Final Fantasy has always established trends rather than following them, and that this mindset is evident in Final Fantasy XIV's continued desire to adopt novel approaches, particularly in terms of storytelling. And you can read the full article in the show notes and also at inverse.com. Time for the spotlight portion of the show, and I just wanted to let you know, in case you missed it, that Susan Calloway, at Susan Calloway on Twitter, she had posted that she did a live Susan concert on her main Facebook fan page, and it was all Final Fantasy XIV inspired. So you can head to facebook.com/ Susan Calloway, if you want to catch it, because she said it's still posted. So if you missed it, you can still go there and watch it. All right, so the second spotlight of the show comes from a thread, and I'll just say that it's either to charge for RP lessons or not to charge for RP lessons, that is the gist of the thread. The thread is quite lengthy now. Yesterday, it was quite tiny, and most of the people were like, "Roar, do not charge." And then now it seems like the tide has turned, and a lot of the people now catching up to this thread from yesterday is kind of like, I really don't see where it's horrible. So here was the original premise. PSA, do not profiteer off new role players. That sort of exploitive predatory behavior is not acceptable in the RP community. There is an FC Discord CWLS that is claiming they are there to spread RP, but they're charging gil for it. This was posted by AFK Land on Twitter. And the whole reason I wanted a spotlight was not the whole premise of the thread itself, but the very last tweet in the thread actually shares a free Discord titled "Join the RP Members Discord Server" is a community for new role players seeking advice from experienced RP members. And right now they have 135 members in this Discord. That is what I wanted to focus on, was the actual free RP Members Discord. But the post that Alfie made actually showed where there is a post. I don't know exactly where this was posted at, but there is a post from a FC out there that is charging for RP lessons. So I don't care what way you decide to go, if you want to learn how to RP, if you feel comfortable paying somebody for their time, or if you just want to quickly pick the brains of other experienced people that are probably learning right along with you, either path is your thing. I, as a sprout in Final Fantasy XIV, find this topic, and like many Final Fantasy XIV topics, intriguing. And I'm not here to tell you which path to choose, because I'm not you and you're not me. But I just wanted to let you know that there's these different paths out there if you are interested in learning how to RP. So there are some, it appears to be some FCs out there that want to charge, and they charge like 100k gil for a mission. 50k gil for personal story progress, 250k gil for scene, personalized scene, an RP scene. And so just to give you an idea of like what this means, looking for a personalized scene for you or a group or friends, one of our consultants will take down your names and what you are looking for, and then our writing team will design a scene for you to be led by one of our DMs. Any scene must have consent from all individuals, and our team has absolute veto privileges. And then they put in bold and underlined you in parentheses, and any individuals involved must join our Discord due to organizing the scene. The cost of the service is per person. So they charge, like, they have writers in the FC that will write out an entire personal scene for you, and it's 250k gil a person that is participating in the scene. And then they charge 50k gil for character development. And this is where Elfie was kind of irritated, is that they had kind of, in a way, targeted shy RPers in their advert saying, "Are you a shy RPer and prefer people to approach you? Let us help you develop plot hooks and character backgrounds with your input. Give us a general direction and interest and we will do the rest. We can work with highly specific characters or blank slates. It's entirely up to you. Plot hooks cost 50k and a character background starting at 100k. And then they ask that you please consult with a consultant. So if you want to check out the thread and read the back and forth, there's valid points on both sides. Elfie was just not feeling it on Twitter and wanted to go to Twitter and make this thread about how they just really don't feel comfortable with people targeting shy role players and trying to profit off from their shyness. But I think what the main thing is, after I've read through all of the tweets underneath the thread, is that, you know, some people would prefer to pay for a service because, one, they feel like, now, because I also play World of Warcraft, if you've ever played, you've heard the phrase, "Time is money, friend," because time is money, friend, because people, there's somebody out there that loves to write. And this, from reading one of the posts from somebody who's actually in this FC, they said that they just really wanted to find a way so that their members can get paid for, like, their talents, you know? So to me, it's like a supply and demand thing for this. The FC is looking at it as a supply and demand. Like, look, we have these people, they're really good at doing this, they're really good at writing, they're really good at RPing, and we have this other group of people that we're coming in contact with that really are new to it, that maybe aren't so good at writing and aren't so good at RPing, and let's mesh the two together. So I can see in their mind, like, this is a win-win for everyone, right? And that's what they wanted to do. And since time is money, friend, they wanted to charge for it. But then an Elfie's like, "Psh, this is bunk. You shouldn't be charging for this. This is a game. Everybody's already paying real money to pay for this game. And now there's people in the game that want to take your in-game money and blah." And like, so Elfie is showing you that there's also a free way you can go about doing this. You can join free Discord server full of RP mentors that are willing to, you know, teach people as they go. So they've finish the thread by saying, "Want to join a community that actually cares about RP and isn't just in it for some gil grab? You're welcome to check out RP Mentors." So I feel like Elfie had a dog in this fight. I don't have a dog in this fight. I haven't even dabbled in the RP section of Final Fantasy 14. I have in other games. I'm a scrub. I'm a noob. So I like stuff like this. I like to see avenues, different places so that you can pick the brains of other people. You have some more experienced players to learn from. So whichever you want to do. Do you want to pay for a specific RP experience that sounds like they have every wrinkle ironed out to the T? Or do you want to go and jump into a community if you're a little more extroverted and say, "Hey, I'm new, I'm here, and I want to learn"? So either way, I wanted to let you know there are options for both of you sprouts. I don't know if any one of them break the terms of service. I am not a Final Fantasy in-game lawyer. I do not RP a lawyer in Final Fantasy 14. I have no idea if paying for RP services is against terms of service or not. I just want to let you know that the choice is there. All right, let's move on. Oh, before we move on, the link to this, the tweet, and to the free RP Mentor Discord is in the show notes. Sproutliftpodcast.wordpress.com or cozypodcastnetwork.com. All right, so to wrap up the spotlight portion, I wanted to shine a light over at Kupo Design Studios on Etsy. It is an Etsy shop, so you can go to Etsy.com and plug in Kupo Design Studio, all one word, and they are selling some pretty awesome Final Fantasy XIV resin job stones, beautiful Final Fantasy resin Moogle heads, Jobstone grab bags, all different colors, Grahatia theme, Final Fantasy resin jobstones, beautiful, stunning colors. I just love it. So if you wanted to go there, they have, it looks like they have custom stuff, ready-made stuff, and themed jobstones. They've have 507 sales, 193 admirers, and they have a Twitter that you can follow at Mallory Jenkins. That's M-A-L-O-R-E-Y Jenkins for their shop news and updates. And also they say to feel free to tag them in posts of your orders. So awesome. Stunning work. Kupo Design Studio at Etsy. All right, and our final spotlight for episode 13 is a song, Final Fantasy XIV parody on Frozen's Let It Go, but it's titled Aetherflow, a Final Fantasy XIV parody by Jess Plays on YouTube, and it's awesome. So I want to... let's listen to that and then let's ride into some community tips. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna ride in on this and then we're gonna land in a nice pool of community tips. Let's do it.
I'm a black mage, it's routine. The weight is growing like this astral fire inside. Couldn't find a tank, chatlog knows I've tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the black mage you always have to be. Conceal, don't heal, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Aether flow, can't spam attacks anymore. Aether flow, run one duty, run ten or more. Me anyway. It's funny how some healing makes every cue seem small, and the weights that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what we can do to test my EOS and Selene too. No umbral ice, no blizzard. I'm free. Aether flow, summon one an eye for an eye. Spam at low, spam at low. My MP's never dry. Here I stand and heal away. Please turn the ballot on.
write just a little chat about my adventures. One thing I find that's very touchy when talking about Final Fantasy XIV or even consuming any content is spoilers, because we're all playing the main story questline, you know, independently, right? We all are on our different pages of the story. We're experiencing different things at different times. But one thing I can always share is my adventures of randomness or the really fun holidays that are going on. So I had a blast at the Moon Fair event, being blown off the circuit a few times, but happy when I finally made it. And one of the things that I love is how our performance in the quest is directly linked to the other characters on the quest too. I love that about Final Fantasy XIV, the whole game design is it's not like go collect this, go collect that, turn it in, get this all the time. It's hey, you're a character in the quest. You're here to amp up the self-esteem of another adventurer. And, you know, I love the fact that my character in the game says, like, barely anything, you know? She's just always smiling and nodding. And I'm like, that's so not like me in real life. I feel like I'd be better if I was more like my in-game character. Because I'm like, girl, that's all you're gonna say? You're like literally saying nothing. You got this crazy stuff going on around you, and you're just smiling and nodding like you're this all-knowing, peaceful adventurer. And I'm not like that in real life whatsoever. I'm just, obviously, if I can podcast by myself and talk to a computer screen, I'm not the same as my Katarina. Katarina or Katrina. Okay. I call her Katrina, but some people call her Katarina. But so Katrina loved how she got to kind of role model for this little new adventure in the game. And I thought that was so much fun. And that's the part of the immersion of the game that I adore. I also love it when Yoshi comes into the game to chat with us and drop us some like knowledge nuggets. So I put the screenshot of the latest event that is going on right now. Is do not forget to do the Rising event. It goes until September 12th. So you still got a couple more days. And it's the foothills of today echo into the legacy of tomorrow. Now this is part of a newfound journey. The wandering minstrel has a request for an experienced adventurer. You have to be level 15. Head to Alda, Steps of Nald. The coordinates are X10.1 and Y8.4. Find the wandering minstrel because you'll get an adorable prize. You get to take home your very own Clockwork Solus minion and the little tooltip, no lands must remain beyond its grasp. Go forth, conquer, rule. Use this item to acquire the Clockwork Solus minion, and it does like this little like sparkle animation. At least it did when I was in my G pose, so I make no promises. But it's so cute because it has like little angry eyebrows, and I just love it. It is adorable. So you can get this adorable Clockwork Solus by heading to X10.1. Y8.4 and seek out Wandering Minstrel. But back to my adventure. I love it when Yoshida comes into my dreams in game, and I wouldn't be against it if Yoshida wanted to stop by and say hey in my real life dreams, because I think that'd be fantastic, because he's always having excellent things to say, like this. Unexpected hardships may turn our lives upside down, and though we all desire peace deep in our hearts, the sparks of conflict never cease to be struck. Very, very wise. And then he greets you, saying, 'Tis a pleasure to meet you again. As I have in the past, I have beckoned you here that I might express my gratitude.' I'm like, yes, come on into my dreams, Yoshi. Express your gratitude anytime you want. The door is open. And then, so I know I've said it once, but I'll say it again. I really think it's special that Yoshi is added into our game like this. I think it's really awesome. So don't forget to do the Rising event. You have until September 12th. Let's move into community tips. Not just one tip, but many. tips. Our first community tip comes from Hellfrog Enthusiast on Twitter, and they tweeted, "Hey, Final Fantasy XIV community, new Tell scam where they will send a PNG link where it has a QR code. Please don't scan it because it will give them access to your personal info and possibly hack your phone." And then they shared an example of what they're trying to warn you about, and it looks like it is a PNG, a picture of a Final Fantasy XIV actual legitimate tweet, and it looks like Final Fantasy Twitter with the little blue check mark is saying, "We've decided to sneak another mount into the 6.2 release. Scan the QR code to automatically add this mount. This mount is only available until September 4th, and then after this date, the mount will become tradable and will be the only way to own this, so claim it now." And then they put like a generic QR code, and then, so, you know, the tweeter, which was Hellfrog Enthusiast, said, "You know, please stay safe. Don't scan any QR codes. Do not fall for this. This is a new way to try to scam you and to potentially hack your phone." And I could see how it could be doable. So definitely keep your head on a swivel. There's always somebody trying to get something for nothing. All right. Time is money, friend. All right, now this is burned in my head. I can't stop. All right, Diane went to Reddit and asked, "I've noticed over the last day or two the exclamation points that usually appear above my character's head when a fish bites on my line are appearing when I'm fishing. Did they change that aspect of fishing recently, or is there a setting somewhere that controls it that may have gotten turned off?" And then Kite Rivers came in to save the day and said, "In settings, if you have effects for self set to limited, then it won't show the exclamation marks. I made a macro that switches the effects setting for your character and assigned it to the hotbar. That way, when I'm fishing, I can easily turn the full effects on and off." Jakara went to Reddit and asked, "Is purchasing an apartment done by lottery like with houses? I've not owned property before, and I'm thinking of saving up for an apartment. However, all I know of the buying process is the housing lottery, and I'm not sure if buying apartments is any different." And "What is it again?" replied, "No lottery for apartments, as long as there's free ones." And then parentheses, "You might need to check different wards depending on your world, and you meet the requirements, which are 50k gil, second lieutenant rank in grand company, and level 50 in any DOM or DOW job. There's also no demolition for apartments, so no fear in losing it." Jangetta went to Reddit and asked, "I'm rank 8 in my island sanctuary, but I cannot upgrade my pastures or my garden to rank 3? Am I missing something? I've been looking all over the internet. Took a week-long vacation, but I also have my workshop and granaries upgraded and all mammoth tools created." Then Firefox answered, "You need cabin 3 to get pastures and crops that are 3. And Jack Feck said, "You need to pay the mammoths to expand the land and build new sites." And Low-Key posted on Reddit, "I forgot which ward I put a lottery bid on for a housing plot. Is there a way to find out without going to everyone?" And then Forbidden Link said, "Timers menu." And Low-Key said, "Holy crap, there's a separate tab. Thank you so much." Lots of tips rolling in. And then here's a tip on macros. I'm not going to read the macro out because that's weird and lengthy, but I will put the link to it in my show notes. SproutLifePodcast.wordpress.com. And this was posted by @protractions on Twitter. "For folks on the island sanctuary who want to auto run / mount to nodes, I have a macro for you. You still have to interact once you get to the nodes, but I hope this helps." So it helps you, instead of having to, I guess, mount and run all this stuff, you can auto run and mount to nodes, and I guess it makes it faster for you. So I put that macro in the show notes. Our next tip, our question and a tip comes from Celsius87. Can someone please explain potting to me like I'm five? Do you use a pot every rotation or ever so many minutes by watching until it expires? So Midgard Sormer said, in a static, we try to fit as many pots in as we can. Depends on fight duration, but two is usual. One pot is used during the opener, and a second, we will all try to pot and burst at the same time, so we plan to do it the next burst window after pot comes off cooldown. And then Selsko said, lime up your potions with your burst window. That's when you have your big buffs. High potency moves and abilities and finishers are all ready to go. If you can line it up with a party-wide buff window every 2 minutes, even better. Potions have a lengthy 4-minute, 30-second cooldown, so you usually will get to use 2 to 3 per fight. Don't use them immediately off cooldown unless you're about to start your burst window. And Zenku390 finished by adding, you typically only use 2 to 3 pots in a fight, opener, then your next aligned buff window with the pot available, and then your last minute damage. And then on Twitter, Varlin Hugh wanted to let everybody know that the inventory grid dots on the left of your equipment turn white when they're fully spirit bonded and ready to extract materia. I had no idea this either. And then they asked everybody if we knew this on Twitter. And then they re-quoted their tweet saying, I'm quote retweeting my own post, because apparently people don't know that the inventory grid dots on the left of the menu are your gear. They turn white when it's fully spirit bonded and ready to extract materia. And I'm gonna say, I had no idea what this was. I figured down the road I would figure it out, but I play Lone Wolf by myself. I figure stuff out in the game on my own, and thankfully by doing this podcast. Because it forces me to go and seek information. So like, I'm filing all this stuff away, and it's all thankfully in my show notes. So I can always go back to my show notes and figure out what I did. So I had no idea. I saw this little grid, these 4 grid squares with little circles. And I'm like, is this like Braille? Is that like, what is it? I didn't know. I thought, well, this, I'm sure it has a great, amazing purpose. And I have no idea because there's no label. I feel like it's so bizarrely done. Like, it's like a crop circle down in the corner of my screen. I have no idea what it was, but now that I know, it's spirit bonding. So here we go. Let's go on a little lesson of spirit bonding, shall we, Sprouts? In the process of creating materia, weapons, armor, and accessories will acquire spirit bond. Try to read and laugh at the same time. All right, and uno momento, I gotta get this giggle out of my system. It's just not going anywhere. Whew, I think I gathered myself. All right, the handy pause button is my friend. All right, so Sprouts, weapons, armor, and accessories will acquire spirit bond as we gain experience points from defeating monsters, completing duties or fates, crafting items, and gathering resources. Once equipment reaches 100% spirit bond, a piece of materia can be extracted from it, returning it to 1%. Players can view spirit bond progression by hovering over the equipment and reading the spirit bond percentage from the item's information details. So once the spirit bond is complete, the player will receive an audio, visual, and text notification in their chat log. Additionally, the gear indicating pips in the bottom right by default will change from green to white. Note that when a piece of your gear reaches 1% spirit bond, it becomes permanently bound to your character. As a result, it cannot be traded to other players or sold on the market board. The gear will be immediately bound to you if you gain any experience while wearing it, or if it is used to glamour a different piece of equipment. So the high quality gear and ethereal gear will be spirit bonded 20% faster than regular equipment. Additionally, each materia melded into the gear will increase the spirit bonding speed by 20%. spirit bonding rate is cumulative. For example, a piece of high quality gear with two materia, which is 20%, with two materia melded, 40%, will spirit bond 60% faster than a piece of non-quality gear with no materia. So despite the high quality gear bonding faster than the no quality gear, extracting no quality gear nets the same result as high quality gear. In short, the quality of the extracted item will not affect the materia gained. So it seems to affect the speed, but not the quality of the materia. I guess that would have been the simplified way to say that. So the equipment will acquire spirit bond regardless of the class of the player, and that is required to gain spirit bond is for you to receive experience points while wearing the item. Due to this, players can wear crafting or gathering gear as a disciple of war and spirit bond it through combat experience and vice versa. This will be catastrophically bad for your performance in those tasks. However, since you will have none of the relevant stats. Oh, well then. All right. So, did you catch that? This will I'm going to rewrite this so I can re-sync into my brain. Equipment will acquire spirit bond regardless of the class of the player. So it doesn't matter what class you're in, like what job. All that is required to gain spirit bond is for you to receive experience points while wearing it. Okay, so you could be a crafter or a disciple of war, and like you could be like a disciple of war, but then like fishing, and as long as you're experiencing, you know, getting experience from it, it works. But the stats of the gear are not going to help you out at all because it's not going to be the right stats for the job that you're doing. So spirit bond speed correlates to the level difference between the equipped item and the enemy slain. The level of items gathered or level off the item created by a crafter. Based on research, items that are 8 to 15 levels below the experience given object will spirit bond the fastest. 10 levels below is about the perfect spot. If you are striving to spirit bond level 40 gear, you want to craft level 50 gear, then gather from level 50 nodes, run level 50 dungeons, and kill level 50 enemies. So note that a piece of gear with 0% condition will not gain spirit bonds. Spawn point. So if any of that was too much to intake, sometimes I have to read something over a couple times, I have to see it or whatever, and then it makes sense. But I think I got the gist of it now. But I did paste this into my show notes so you can find that there if you want to kind of read back over it, or just search what spirit bond is and what materia is, because I had no idea. So thank you very much, Varlin Hu, for sharing this on Twitter. I would have just thought that I had some weird hieroglyphics, these little dots and squares down in my corner of my screen, and I had no idea what it was, none at all. So now I at least have a better idea of what it is. Time for closing. All right, that has been episode 13 of the Sprout Life Podcast. We're going to wrap up that episode with a quote from the Wandering Minstrel. The future's unwritten, bring it rapture, sorrow. Our journey shall continue unto tomorrow and tomorrow. You can contact the show on Twitter at Sprout Life Pod. You can email the show at sproutlifepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Horena. And you can find all things that I shared about on the show, the Discord that I talked about, the parody that I shared, the macros that were too weird and long for me to repeat but sound really handy. You can find all that stuff by going to sproutlifepodcast.wordpress.com or cozypodcastnetwork.com. From there, you'll be able to leave a voicemail, find other Final Fantasy XIV content creators from the directory that is organically being built over the past year. And also, like I said, Sprout Life is a member of the Cozy Podcast Network, the place where I host all of my podcasts. So you can find this one and the rest at cozypodcastnetwork.com. Have a great day and happy adventuring, adventurers!